Back here on Downtown, it's a Wednesday afternoon thing. Rich Kimball with you, and Bruce in studio with us for this week's Sports Lit 101.
Yeah, so we're going to take a quick look at two books that today. One of them I've got with me because I wouldn't remember everything I'm going to say about. There were really influential books, I think, in the decade or so that we've been doing this. And one that I still, every once in a while, I look at this and I say, how did they get so many great essays into Replays, Rivalries, and Rumbles? There are a few that might be a tad on the sort of academic side, but generally they all read very, very well. And they are, in many cases, the essay that later births a book. And so you get to see what drew the author to the subject. Now this comes from University of Illinois Press. And just among the people in here that are have been regulars or have been on Downtown with us is Ronald A. Smith, who has written extensively on North Carolina and Penn State athletics. You've got Dick Crapoe, who, as we know, is just a marvelous writer on sports. Steve Geachier himself, Travis Vogan, Steve Hardy, who is a former hockey commissioner of the ECAC and wrote what is, I think, the seminal work along with Andrew Holman. Well, not the seminal work. I would say that the current work on hockey itself, their book on the history of hockey. Replays, Rivalries, and Rumors are the kind of books that if you have a sports fan and you don't know exactly what they like, they will find something in here, whether it's reading about Babe Ruth or Muhammad Ali or the creation of the Negro League or George Gipp and Newt Rockne or the way ESPN changed the way we think about sports or looking back at great moments in sport, the Kings rigs battle, Joe Namath declaring he'd win the Super Bowl and delivering. But it's a really, really, really good book. Replays, Rivalries, and Rumbles. The subtitle is The Most Iconic Moments in American Sports. And then another book that I think now more than ever we need to talk about because it's a book that really begins right here in Maine. And that's Amy Bass's incredible book, One Goal. When this book came out, she chronicled the story of the way that Somalis and other African immigrants to Lewiston elevated Lewiston soccer to the highest level in a city which really had not cared much for the game before or done much for the game before. And Lewiston is one of those cities that has been there for waves of immigrants over time. People are well aware of how many people of my ancestry say Lewiston instead of Lewiston, that it was one of the French enclaves in New England. And there were friends of mine who grew up being told that they were stupid because they spoke French or they only had to, you can work in the mill, that's all you're good for. So Lewiston kept sort of repairing that damage to itself. When the Somalis arrived and they really invigorated a good part of the town, many people thought that this was going to be a problem, but in general, it has not been. They have been able to really move in with the community. When you think now after what Lewiston has just gone through, it is a vastly different city than the Lewiston that would have gone through this 20 years ago. It's a city which is much more ethnically diverse, much more racially diverse, and economically diverse. I mean, I can remember my wife looked at, when we first were coming up here, had an interview with a law office in Lewiston. I remember walking down Lower Lisbon Street and thinking, man, is there anything here to do but drink and play pool? And now you've seen that city, its resurgence. But what this does, this is why, and I say this, and people know this, so I've never been a soccer fan. I've tried. I go to UMaine games. I go to my granddaughter's games. I've tried to develop an affection for the game. I haven't been able to do that. But this book is, I think, to American soccer, what Fever Pitch, Nick Hornby's Fever Pitch is to European soccer. It explains the love and why it exists. It doesn't need to be amplified in some way. And Amy Bass is a tremendous writer, and she wrote wrote that book, and I would really hope that people would if you haven't read it, read One Goal. The book we're going to talk about next week is amazing. I love a book where I learned something I knew nothing about. Have you ever heard, Rich, of Wilmuth Siddhat Singh?
I have not.
Well, Wilmuth Siddhat Singh is an amazing guy. His jersey was retired by Syracuse as a basketball player, and he was a single-wing quarterback for them in the Jim Crow era, and was born and raised in the Bronx, went to DeWitt Clinton High School. His father died when he was young. He's African-American. His mother married a doctor from India, and so he was put up as the Hindu, made him be the Hindu, right? He was apparently very smart, was studying pre-med, and decided, he was born in 1918, he decided to enlist in the Tuskegee Airmen. And he qualified, and he was sadly lost in a training mission over Lake Huron. It took 76 years for Syracuse to really recognize him in the right way. He played up in 1943 with the Syracuse Reds in the Harlem Renaissance. But he has to say he's buried at Arlington. He died. The book, he died in a training mission. The book, Invisible No More, a historical novel, is told as fiction because it's the kind of new hybrid genre where they didn't want to write an academic nonfiction book. They wanted to bring this guy's life alive. And so I've only read 30 or so pages in, I guess, and just been astonished by how it grabbed my attention. It's told as a young African-American female reporter in 2000. Oh, Bruce, don't blow the year. 2000, I think the year 2000 goes to a ceremony to give another Tuskegee Airman the medal he never got. And he talks to her and she talks to him. And he says, look, but I got a real story for you. My story is one thing, but I got a great story for you. And then he gives her all this information, scrapbooks and the like, and the story starts to evolve from there. And it's so far it's very well written, which is no surprise for something that Rick Burton has his hand in. But we'll look at that next week. Invisible No More, a historical novel, and Tim Wendell talks about it. Mike Tirico blurbs it. Don McPherson blurbs it. So there are a lot of people that like this book that know a lot about good sports writing. So that'll be on with us next week. And that's what I got today.
Nice. What's coming up in the weeks ahead? Do you know beyond that?
Well, beyond that, there's a book by Brandon Buehler, who has been on with us, that's called, it's about the rise of the managerial class in sports. Might be a tad on the academic side, but so far as I'm looking at it, it's pretty good. We're going to have, should have new poetry from Athlon soon. I have some more books coming from Nebraska, Illinois. A lot of those books will just start to land in early February. So maybe dancing a little bit between now and then.
Nice to see a number of people that we've talked with here on the segment who showed up in a year-end list of best sports books of the year.
Yeah, by Don Schlossberg, we saw Steve Geachier, a mid-century baseball. The Turbulent Years was number two, right behind Poznanski's book, Why We Love Baseball. 50 moments. And Tim Wendell's 1966 book was in it as well. So 20% of the top 100, or the top 10 list, rather, has been with us, and all of them have been on more than once.
Yeah, very nice. All right, thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure.